there's so many times in our lives where nothing seems to be working until it does.
That's right.
And it's that split second that all of a sudden we go, what just happened? How did that? And it was because of our faithful sowing, where it acted as if nothing was happening.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Are you ready to rethink everything? Literally everything, especially about social media and how you show up to serve and maybe to show off or not show off. This has some serious connotations about maybe some things that'll pull on your heartstrings or your ego strings. What if the root of all evil is ego? Yeah, we know it's the love of money, but what if ego is actually keeping you from serving people really well on social media? Or just at all. I love today's guest, Kyle Draper. He has so much fruit that just literally falls off of him when he shows up into a room. And if that sounds really weird, fruit falling off of people, and you don't know what I'm talking about, this is an amazing opportunity to learn about the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, and to know that there can be seasons where it might appear like you have zero fruit with faith-filled effort consistently. Remember, when you're planting seeds, especially connected to a plan that God has put on your life, you might not see any growth initially. And so you've got to stay consistent. Say yes to the yes, stay yes in the yes, right? Like stay there and understand that there's some myths that you're going to have to dispel in order to rethink everything. So, this was a filled episode and ultimately ended in the concept of curiosity and making it fun. We are here to showcase God in a really dynamic marketplace ministry way without ever having to say the name of Jesus. Learn how in this episode. Thanks, Kyle. You're amazing. Calling all his mighty messengers to the front lines, to the microphones, to the stages, to the bookshelves, to the digital platforms and beyond. This is Marketplace Ministry, and you are invited to join the movement as a messenger. I'm Tamara Andress, the one on the mic, but I honestly see it as a machete to cut through the lies, declare truth, transform narratives, and catalyze Christians like you and me to speak, write, build, and testify. I'd blow a trumpet right now if I could. This is a clarion call. It's not just time to rise, it's time to vocalize unfiltered, uncompromising, unashamed, and undeniably bold. Together, we will turn your message into a movement, igniting global change, making disciples of nations, and touching the lives of billions by doing business God's way. This is not just another podcast to listen to and get stuck into a knowledge cycle with new information. It's an initiation into a transformative movement where isolated entrepreneurship is no more and the hustle and grind biz building is not welcome. We are operating from Sabbath rest and focused on sustenance, not success. Let's go, y'all. Welcome to the Messenger Movement. What's up, everyone? You guys are in for a treat today. My boy Kyle Draper's in the house, and you are going to be blown away by so much about him. I was literally just praying right before we jumped on, and the Lord just reminded me of his love, his peace, and his joy. And every time that I've ever been around you, Kyle, you literally exude those fruits so beautifully. And without without effort, which is such a truth to what abiding actually looks like. And your fruit just falls from the tree, bro. So thanks for being here.
I am, Tamara, I am so honored and I'm nervous. I don't get to go on very many like spiritually based podcasts anymore. And so I was like, man, why am I nervous?
I don't know. That means the Holy Spirit is here and he's wooing you. He's wooing you because I know that you have a long background in hanging out with the HS all day long, right? And being on
That's
stages
right.
in the pastoral realm. And so I think the way that the Lord has shifted you into this social media sector and how you serve clients in this arena is a shift in marketplace ministry, obviously, but it's not detracting from that previous role. I'd actually love for you to share about that because I do think that there's a move of pastors stepping into marketplace ministry, and you're actually going to be on the forefront of it with this conversation.
Yeah. I spent 10 years as a youth pastor and tons of other things. And if you ever worked at a church, they just keep stacking titles on top of you. And
yep.
So, but that was the main one. And really what happened was about 8 years into my 10-year run as a pastor, Tamara, I would go to coffee with people and we'd be having a great conversation. And the moment they found out that I was a pastor, mm-hmm. it's like I could feel their brain start to go, oh no, what are all the things that I just told this guy that I didn't know he was a pastor? And now he's going to use it against me. And now he's going to. And so I would go home like really sad and frustrated because I got into ministry to love people.
Yeah.
And I felt like my title of pastor was keeping people from being open and honest with me.
Wow.
Because they just assumed I wanted to fix them.
Hmm.
And so I just started praying that whenever I don't know what to do, I just pray. That's all I know to do.
Yeah.
And it took 2 years of just consistent prayer for God to finally say, I want to use you more in the business world, having the heart of a pastor to go reach people. And so now it's crazy to think like, as long as I was in it, I've now been out of it.
Wow.
And I've been on a 10-year journey of just trying to figure out like, what does the business world look like? How am I supposed to be in it? And then how do I leverage it to point people to Jesus at every opportunity? Because he's changed my life. He's changed your life. And,
yeah.
and as you know, like there's a lot of people that won't ever step foot in a church.
Yeah.
And those happen to be the people that I get to rub shoulders with every single day.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And you do it so effortlessly, you guys. And I first heard him on stage and it wasn't even just the stage moments. Like I said, it was like side stage, off stage, backstage. This man, he sees people. You see people really well, Kyle. And when you're on stage and the way that you read a room and you engage with the audience, it is so pastoral. It's like so pastoral. And I can't say that for a lot of speakers. Like a lot of speakers are so much in their own head and in their own heart that they're saying good things. It's not to say that they're bad speakers, but they're not actually there for the people. And it's so evident that you're there for the people just by making them laugh, just by you joking yourself, like just by you sharing your testimony in a context that isn't typical of what would be a business conference. Tell me more about how the Lord shaped you in that, or was it more you just falling into it because you were used to it from the pastoral realm?
Well, so interesting thing you asked that. So my parents, they were the top people in a direct sales company for 30 years. And it wasn't a Christian company, but it was based in Christian values.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched for 30 years. So my parents found that business when they were on the verge of bankruptcy, mm-hmm. when I was 3 years old. And so Tamara, my entire life was thousands of women coming to our home to be loved on by my parents for this direct sales company because it was jewelry, right?
Wow.
So 99% of the people in it were women.
Right.
And so I just lived my whole life walking downstairs going, oh gosh, why are there 100 women in our house? That was my life. And so I just watched my parents just unconditionally love people, meeting them where they're at. And so for me, like, you compliment me on things, I don't even think about those things.
Yeah.
Like you saying it out loud is like the first time that I can go, oh wow, like I do that really well, but I don't set out to do that.
Sure.
I just grew up in a family that loved people.
Yeah.
And so I have to give my parents credit for just modeling, I think, what Jesus' love looks like to people. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were. And so for me, like, every stage I'm on, every interaction I get to have, like, my first thought is like, man, I hope this person knows how uniquely and wonderfully made they are. And if they don't, I'm going to try to do my best to give them a glimpse into that experience. And so that's kind of how it happens for me.
Well, and I think if more people could tap into, like, what is effortless for you? You know, what is the thing that, like, is just your natural tendency? Now, I say naturals, not everybody was raised in the default of seeing love and seeing it demonstrated well. So I have total empathy for people who are like, well, my natural tendency is anger and my natural tendency is, you know, PTSD. I've been there, done that, totally get it. But even still, like, in the quiet of your day, or the people that know you most with the less effort, they just love you because that's who you are. What do they say about you? And how do they come to you? What do they come to you for? Are really good references on how you could be operating in your business entity, in your business model, whatever that looks like to you, even if it is a 9-to-5 somewhere. And that doesn't detract from what it is that you're made to do or what you do from a financial perspective. It actually just adds to it. It makes you marketable. It makes you, you know, attractable to people. It's that, what I like to call, like, the magnetism quality that you naturally have, that, like, Kyle didn't teach you to do and Tamara didn't teach you to do. It's like a Christ ornate gift.
100%. And I think it, at least for me, it just comes out of valuing other people more than I value myself.
Hmm.
You know, most of us, especially in the business world, right? You ever go to networking, which by the grace of God, I don't have to do very often anymore.
Yep.
But it's like, who can pass out cards the fastest?
Yep.
Right? So it's all about, what's in this for me? How do I benefit from this experience? And as long as that's my focus, I'll always miss the opportunities that I have to serve others.
So good.
And so when I show up to Summit, where you and I initially met, I'm 100% present because I'm like, there's people here that need to be loved on. And I'm not sure, Lord, who they are. But as long as I'm not focused on me, you're going to put me in front of them. And I think, As hard as that can be, I think it's as simple as just practicing that selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, opportunities really show up when our vision turns from inward to outward.
Yeah, that's powerful. Now, when you shifted from the pastoral into the marketplace, I've heard a bit of your story, and we're totally going to talk about my go-to plane ride book. So this is literally how I'm marketing this. I've had people send pictures of themselves in a plane because you can read it in one plane ride. Literally, I read it from here to Charlotte. So that's like an hour and a half, if not less. And it's brilliant. I mean, you can, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody like who have actually highlighted and circled in your book, but I did all the work. Okay, teacher, I'm a recipient of the education of Rethink Everything You Know About Social Media. And the Rethink Everything is really what we want to talk about here. When you shifted from pastoral, what you knew, into having to rethink everything for the first time in entrepreneurship, what was that like? Because that's who a lot of the listeners are for my things. They're like, I want to take the leap of faith. I want to say yes to the God dream.
It was horrible.
Like, yes, it was. Thank you. Say it real, bro.
It was so scary. And what a lot of people don't know is when I left our church, right, with the calling to go be in business, I, within a week of leaving the church, tried to go get hired at another church. Like, I straight up was like, No one's going to want me in the business world. I have no skill sets to do this. And so I went and tried to get a job at another church. And praise God, that didn't work out. And it should have worked out, but it didn't, because the Lord had already given me my marching orders.
Yes.
And so I was like, what do I know? And what I know is people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, because we moved to a city where we were not from as soon as this all happened. So we're not just in a new, like, vocation. We're in a new location.
Oh, man.
And so I don't know anybody. And so I remember always praying, like driving to a networking event, just going like, Lord, like, you know, I'm naive. You know, I trust everyone. Like, just connect me to good people that will have my best interests at heart. And so that was really like the first part of it for me. And then the second part was I had to go through a really strong humbling.
Yeah.
Because I'd become super arrogant as a pastor, and I wasn't able to process it until I was no longer a pastor. And so the Lord put me in roofing.
Yep.
Because, I mean, good night. Like, what's the opposite of being a pastor? It's probably being a roofer. And I just remember Tamara thinking, you know what? I may not know everybody's answers, but I know people who do.
Mm.
And so if I can approach every conversation I have humbly enough to be able to say, you know what? That's a great question. I don't know, but I will find out. And that was like I think that's what helped me the most, is just coming into the realization of like, I don't have this figured out. I'm years away from even being able to think I do. And so the Lord just said, man, I'm going to send you to a place where like, there's no one to turn to but me.
Come on.
And if you'll do it, this will go really well, but you're going to also have the chance to make it about you and be selfish, you know, and be selfish.
Yeah.
And so that was just going in open-hearted and with just a willingness to say, you know, if me not knowing is a deal breaker, I'm willing to have that happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest and transparent with people.
Yeah.
And that kind of inched me down the road.
Yeah. And knowing that, like, that's one of the most powerful and most profound things that we can do now, because even as our businesses grow, our influence grows, which we're going to talk about influence growth for you and what that looked like. If we're not in that place of humility, oh my gosh, it can go really wrong really fast. And we can truly squander everything that God has given us and trusted us with. I think that's been one of my biggest conversations with the Lord in the last year, and revelations with him is I've walked and I've been trusting him and trusting him and trusting him. And it was last year he gave me this really profound vision. I won't go fully into it now, but at the end of the day, I was asking him a question like, that's awesome, Lord, but what do I do with this? And he said, what do you want to do with it? And I'm like, well, I'm really used to you giving me the plan. What do I do with this? And he's like, I trust you. And in receiving that trust was like, oh, wow, that part of me is no longer, I've died to that part of myself. And now you trust me. Holy cow. What an honor. What a space of humility to be in when God says, I trust you enough. Go ahead.
I love that.
Right?
So good.
So talk to me about the shift of serving people really well. You haven't not stopped serving people really well, but you're on a roof and you decide at this point, or the Lord decides, I don't remember that part of the story, that you need to tell people about it and you need to get on camera. Why?
Yeah. There's not a good reason why. Like, no, who wants to watch videos about roofing? Nobody does. I was still very naive in business. I was only probably like a year into being in the business world. And that was right when Facebook Live came out.
Okay.
And so I just had this thought of like, okay, what advantage do I have? I think this is a great question for people to ask themselves, is like, from my past experience, what advantage does that give me?
Mm, that's good.
That may not appear to be an advantage on the surface.
Mm, that's good.
Because for me on the surface, like, telling my wife, like, hey, guess what? I did a video about roofing today. You know, she's like, okay, why? And how is that going to ever make money? Right? So it didn't make any sense, but I just knew, I mean, good night. I'd been a communicator for a living for 10 years.
Right.
And so surely if there's a guy that can get in front of a camera and leverage it to his advantage somehow, it could be me.
Yeah.
And so I just, on dumb faith, just started turning on the camera and talking about roofing, and I was on the roofs of some houses and buildings, and it's crazy that I didn't fall off and die. But I just, Lord, in my humility, I thought, I'll try anything. I'm not too proud to hold anything back. And so I started doing it. And again, I was still networking and I was still talking to people and getting my name out there. And what's wild, Tamara, is like, there's so many times in our lives where nothing seems to be working until it does.
That's right.
And it's that split second that all of a sudden we go, what just happened? Yeah. How did that? And it was because of our faithful sowing.
So good.
Where it acted as if nothing was happening. And so I started that journey and the first hailstorm came through Oklahoma City. And I got 100 inbound calls, texts, DMs, while all these other roofers are out there knocking doors and people. I just sat in my living room and answered the phone. And it was all like, so-and-so said, you're the best. So-and-so said, you're the best. So-and-so said, you're the only roofer I can trust. And none of it would have been possible had I not remained faithful in what I thought was fruitless effort.
So good. Whew.
And it was a wild ride.
Yeah. So now you're the go-to roofer and social media guru at that point. What was the pivot from being in that position to the position you're in now? Because I think that there are also people tuning in who are like, man, this was fruitful for a season. It did turn out to be something that provided for my family. I was kind of good at it. And yet God's calling you into that next level of evolution.
So went from roofing. I remember, I don't know that God necessarily said this to me, but he made my brain not be stupid to be able to come to this conclusion to my own. But I remember standing on a roof in the middle of August. It's 100 degrees outside. It's 130 degrees on the roof.
Yeah.
And I'm a large guy. Like, I'm 6'3", 290 pounds. And just going, this can't be it for me. Like, surely, God, you've got something better. Because it just doesn't feel like this is it. And we actually still have the roofing company today. My dad and my brother run it. It's really successful. So it was a really great season. But through roofing, I met a buddy that built websites. Mm-hmm. And through roofing, I met tons of real estate agents. Mm-hmm. And they were fun. And they were all outgoing. And it just fit my personality really well. And so we started a company building websites for realtors.
Cool.
And I was the hype man. My partner was the back end engineer.
Yeah.
And I got really tired of cold calling realtors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I prayed, and this was my literal prayer. I said, Lord, what am I good at? And what do realtors suck at? And that's the relationship we have that I can use, you know, edifying words. He knows what's in his heart, so I might as well say it.
Right, right. You're not loving people less because they suck at it. It just is.
Yeah, right? That's right. And so I was like, God, what am I good at? What do they suck at? And what he gave me was, Kyle, it came back to, you're a great communicator.
Yeah.
They're bad. I don't remember him saying sucks back to me. So I'm not going to put that on
him.
Thanks
for that clarity.
But so, just so we're clear, but they're bad at social media.
Yeah.
And like, look at what you did on accident with roofing. What if you could now go teach them on purpose? And so I sat out, and Tamara, this is how stupid I am. If I don't put it on the calendar, I'll never do it.
Yeah.
So the moment God gave me this clarity, I called the 5 largest real estate offices in Oklahoma City. They knew me as a roofer. And I said, hey, if I taught a social media class, would you let me come teach it? And they all five were like, yeah. So I booked five classes before I ever had curriculum.
Let's go.
I didn't know what to do, teach. But I knew there's a deadline coming.
Yep.
And so what God gave me was, Kyle, if you know 1% more than the people you're serving, yep, you'll always have something of value to give them.
Yep.
And so do not sit in hiding, becoming the expert when you already have value to give.
That's good.
And so that led to me over 2 years teaching 200 times across the state of Oklahoma, all for free, in hopes of earning people's business for their website.
So good.
And I didn't know until it was over, right, that that was never designed for building websites. God was setting me up to do what I now do, which is get to travel the country and love and minister to people through the name of social media. And in a million years, I could have never planned it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes it that much more fun. And I love, if you guys aren't tuning into this, the way that you, this isn't maybe the best word, but you self-deprecate so lovingly.
Like, you're, yes.
Like, yeah. You're so good at being like, I was the worst at this. I am terrible at this. And I think it's so, like, people talk about vulnerability and authenticity, and I wouldn't count this as that, but it is the same. It's the same at the definition, at the core of the definition, it's the same. But in a way that just shows people your mess, and that God gets the glory through your yes and not necessarily your mess, right? Like, he comes and he meets you through that. And I just love that part of how, I mean, literally, you've always been this way. And you do it in your book. You even write this way. And so I encourage people who like to crack jokes, whether it's at themselves or just don't do it at the expense of other people, probably. But if you're good at joking yourself, you should use it. Because it really encourages people to lean in and be like, man, because I think it makes me feel safe. It makes me feel like, man, I'm so glad he's not perfect. I'm so glad that he stumbled his way into that thing too. I'm so glad that God talks to him and we talk to God the same way, you know? And so I love that about you. And I hope that people are reading between or listening, since you're listening between the lines, listening between the lines today. Is that a thing?
Well, it is now. To me, it's all about relatability.
Yeah.
If we can't relate, why did Jesus teach through parables?
Yeah, it's good.
He could have just taught the message.
Yep.
But he understood the people.
So good.
And so if you really study scripture and understand like the historical reference and what was happening, like, it wasn't just he pulled a random story out of a hat.
Right.
I mean, every single parable traces exactly back.
So good.
To the way they would have identified something, to something they would have been familiar with.
Yeah, so true.
And I think so often, like, we just want people to relate to us. Mm. And so we kind of stand on that, like, well, if you don't get it, like, that's your fault.
That's so good.
And when I'm teaching video and forcing people to get in front of the camera, mm-hmm, I already know the anxiety that that's bringing them.
Yeah.
I mean, Tamara, it's so funny. When I get to speak live, even when I take my phone that's not on and I put it in their face, again, black screen, I mean, you just watch people go, what do I do? Whoa, where do these? Like, it's like you're a baby and you don't know what your hands are anymore.
God.
And so if I can't cut that tension with a willingness to poke fun at myself, every single person in that room leaves that room going, Kyle was really fun, but I can't do this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that I think self-deprecating people are rare.
Yeah.
Most people aren't willing to do it.
Right.
And so for anybody listening that is, like, lean in.
Yeah.
Because it just cuts through the noise and makes you instantly relatable.
It's so good.
All
All right, so let's get into this, because this is why people send you around the country and bring you into their teams and corporations and individual entities. And it's connected to this idea of just truly showing up on video and not being afraid to do it just as you are. Like, there's not a facade in the process. I obviously know, and they've hopefully heard at this point, how that has been a trajectory point for you and the growth in which God has used your company and your gifts. What testimonials do you have for other people? And what are some of, in that process, what are some of their biggest, I don't like the word limiting beliefs, but I'm going to use it right here, their biggest holdups, their biggest hangups from actually doing the thing?
Yeah. So first of all, we're all the same.
Yeah.
So the things that I'm about to say, we all have. And even those of us that think we don't, at some point we did. And to some point, they'll rear their ugly head.
That's good.
But it's typically three things. We don't like the way we look.
Yep.
We don't like the way we sound.
Yep.
And then we don't think we'll have anything to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things. Yep. And I dispel all of them very quickly by helping people realize none of those are your holdups when you have coffee with a friend.
That's right. That's it.
You're not going to wear a ski mask into coffee because you're concerned with your look, right? You might walk in and apologize to your friend because you showed up with this today, but you're still going to go. You're not going to borrow Kanye West's auto tuner so that your voice sounds cool, you know, and then you're also not going to take a stack of note cards in, because I'm so concerned with it getting awkward. I need to be able to flip through my note cards and be like, "So Tamara, what's your favorite color?" Right. When I lay it out like that, we begin to go, oh man, man, that's so true. Like, I don't have any concern of this when I'm in person with my friends. Why am I letting the internet cause it?
Yeah.
And when we take it even a step further and say that unless you're the Rock, the people that watch your videos on the internet are already your people.
Good.
So the same views that I'm getting on Instagram are the same people that I'm having coffee with.
Mm.
And so we're truly positioning ourselves to believe a lie, to not show up to the people we're already willing to show up for.
Mm.
But because we're all so busy, we need those constant reminders of like, oh yeah, I forgot that Tamara does this. Oh, I totally forgot that Kyle does.
Yeah.
And so we're just completely off, because we've allowed social media to become a celebrity contest, to become a popularity contest.
That's good.
And we now have all these so-called like levels that we have to, you know, if you don't have this many followers, like, you're not relevant. Who cares about you? And if you don't have this many downloads on a podcast, like, you're not relevant. When the reality is, like, I need one person to get a sell.
Yeah.
And so whether that's one out of a million views or one out of 38 views,
yep,
the amount of money I made was the same.
It's really good.
And so this is kind of the process to dispelling the hindrances that we put on ourselves.
Yeah. So I'm going to share this with you because I think it's so relevant and what the Lord has given me a couple times, actually. The first time was the night before I was supposed to share on stage at this conference last year. And the second time was the day before I was supposed to share on a conference stage, which just happened again this past weekend. I'm like, same message. And so this message keeps circling, and it's connected to what you're saying. And you said it well, positioning ourselves to believe the lie. And everyone is talking about what you're talking about, these dispelling the myths. It's like limiting beliefs is the language that everybody's working on.
Right.
And that's what I said earlier. I'm like, I don't like this language, because to me, a limiting belief is a half truth. A half truth is always a lie. And a lie is always from the liar himself, which is the enemy. And therefore, we're allowing the enemy to dictate all of our actions rather than it be premised on truth. And I think that the limiting beliefs, ultimately, here's the hanger that I process with the Lord, biblically, scripturally, in prayer, worship, all the things, is that limiting belief is actually rooted in sin.
Mm.
A limiting belief is actually rooted in sin.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, let's go there, Lord. Tell me more, right? And so let's say the limiting belief is how I look, which is what you said. It's actually rooted in pride, right?
100%.
Sound. It's rooted in pride. What am I going to have to say? Probably the same thing. Probably pride. Now we could go to look, and maybe because you think somebody else looks better than you, rooted in envy.
Yes.
Right? It could be look rooted on weight, right? And so the sin is actually just gluttony, but you're saying, I don't like the way I look. And so this has been like probably like 8 months simmering in my soul. Mm. I've said it out loud twice. So this is number three, first time on the podcast. And I'm thinking it needs to be in my next book, but I'd love to hear your thought as you're processing it live with me.
I think you're 100% spot on. The word that, because I teach this, but I've never said it that way.
Sure.
Because to me, the root of all evil on social media is ego.
Yeah, that's good. That's
right, because when I tell somebody, so to give a little nugget inside of this, like if you always want to have content, you need to come from one of two questions. One, what do I get asked the most about blank? And then fill in the blank with your industry. Number two is, what am I surprised that people don't already know?
Yeah.
So if you're having conversations and somebody's like, oh, wait, Tamara, what? You just said that word, but like, what does that mean? Yeah. Your brain should start going, oh, I need to go create a video about that.
Good.
Because if they don't understand it, there's another person that doesn't understand it. So if we operate from those two questions, we should never run out of things to talk about on the internet.
Yep.
But ego.
Mm.
And so ego disguises itself in humility.
Yeah.
Ego can disguise itself in, I'm too busy, I don't have enough time, but our brains are wired to protect us, right? So what I watch happen is I'll say, oh, you need to do a video about that. And your brain says, but that's not cool and sexy.
Mm.
Like that's not going to pop off and go viral. Right. That's not, so you won't do that video because your ego wouldn't let you.
Hmm.
When if we're truly doing it out of a desire to help and serve people.
Yeah.
I mean, I have videos, you probably have video. I have videos that have 4 views.
Yeah.
And when I post that video, my thought was, this is fire. This is going to be insane.
It's so
and 4 views later, I'm like, okay, never mind. Thanks for the humbling. That's what I needed.
It's so true.
And so we have no idea.
Yeah.
And so I really do. I think there's so much truth to the way that you unpacked it from the spiritual side.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, when I'm just teaching business people, like to just say ego is keeping you from showing up.
Yeah.
It's easy to go, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But then you and I know that then why is ego there?
Right.
And that's a much deeper conversation about identity and knowing what truth is available to you that defines who you are. But I even think that what you just said plays out in, like, when I know I need to be doing a video for somebody.
Yep.
But my mind says, bro, you just got in a fight with your wife.
Yeah.
And now you're going to show up like you're good enough and people should listen to you. Like she's still crying in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And you're good. And so I think there's so many ways that sin can reveal itself and then shackle us to keep us from showing up to serve people.
Yeah. It's really good. And then becoming, and I'd love for you to share about this, becoming a bond servant to our followers rather than our family or rather than our friends, because we're getting seemingly more affirmation socially, digitally than we are intimately and relationally.
Okay. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So I haven't unpacked this fully.
Okay.
But just last week I had this thought of like, we all know that intimacy happens through the eyes.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's the first way for us to truly begin to feel connected to somebody.
Yeah.
And so last week I started thinking about how I physically spend the most time with my family.
Yeah.
Right. My wife and our 3 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I have most of our conversations without potentially ever even looking at each other.
Yeah, it's so true.
So we're connecting, right? Like but then that's why at the end of the night, my wife can still go, I just don't feel like you ever listen. And I'm like, what? We just talked for 2 hours.
So true.
But at no point during those 2 hours did we ever actually lock eye contact and be like, you know what? I get you.
I see you. Yeah.
Right? Like, I see what you're dealing with. And then I've got all my best friends that we don't even live in the same state.
Yeah.
We see each other twice a year.
Yeah.
But every day or multiple times a week, we're engaged like this.
So true.
And so, like, you and I are spending more time looking into each other's eyes than I probably ever spend with people I'm physically in a room with.
Man.
And so that we can take this both ways, right? Like, I think there's power in this explanation for why video matters, why I can walk into a room full of people that have never met me, but they watch my content and they instantly trust me.
Yeah. Yeah.
When none of the traditional metrics that we would judge trust on exist.
It's so true.
But we go, I don't know, man, I just trust you.
Yeah.
Right? And then at the same time, why it can be so dangerous when if this is where most of our intimacy lies, then we better really protect what we're putting behind us when we go do these videos and go show up in the business world when we're giving our family just the bits and pieces of what's left over. Mm-hmm. And we're calling communication. She's got two kids. I've got one kid. And so I've been unpacking just this whole concept.
Yeah.
And like how to teach from it. And it's crazy to think about
that
some of the people on this planet that I trust the most, I've been in the same room with the least.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild to think about. And I think that there's a connection point, I think, especially when they're rooted in faith, right? Because you feel like you're looking to them because you're seeing the Jesus within them. So there's that connection point. When they're sharing about their faith, perhaps on social media, you're like, oh, I get them. Like we vibe the same with Jesus, right? We have the same conversations. But then there's also the lack of just plain intimacy that we're missing out on that's right in our presence, right in our midst. And it feels like our presence is actually being carried out in different states and cities rather than being where our feet are planted. And so I think that comes to a conscious effort to unplug, to not be in the place that's also providing you growth in your business, but it might not be providing you growth in your marriage.
Right.
And it's a fine line to walk because I flourish in this space. It's harder for me to do what me and my husband call lights on love than it is for me to just be like, yeah, let's go. Woo, I can go online all day, right? It actually doesn't detract from my energy, even though I do realize later in the day it does. Because they will sometimes get that less than element. So I want to shift gears right here at the end because I think it's really critical and it's a component of this book and the new book that you have that's out now as people are listening to this. Those who are with us live, it's not out now. But for everybody else, which is a majority of the listeners, it is already out. But it's premised on the Rethink Everything concept that I shared about. And a lot of the things that Kyle's talking about right now is in this book. But you still have to get your hands on it because he breaks it down so beautifully. There's really fun images in it. There's QR codes that go to videos alongside all of it, of course, because otherwise he'd be a fraud if it didn't have the videos. But there's a new one out, and eventually there's going to be so many out that we're not going to be able to count, and I'm going to have a whole hopefully colorful, or maybe they'll all be purple. I don't know.
No, the next one's green.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it's going to be so good. But a whole bookshelf full of them. So the next one, Rethink Everything.
You know about being a next-gen loan officer for all of our mortgage people.
So good. And people are listening to this like, that sounds terrible. But if you know anything about real estate or being in this space, every realtor is going to want their hands on it, regardless if they're a loan officer or a mortgage officer or not, because it's all connected, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I want to know what they're knowing because I need to know that.
And there's just, there's so much just good business principle in it.
Yeah, it's good.
Anybody in business is going to learn from it. But it's, I partnered with 39 experts.
So
and
cool.
So each of them wrote a chapter in the book.
So good.
And so I wrote the least in it. I don't even know that my name deserves to be on the front of this one. But
that's
but
how it
is.
Works.
So it's going to be fun. And
so cool.
I've already got like 10 more that, yes. that are kind of in the works with different people. You know, you and I have talked about partnering on one. And so I believe that like they'll always be an undertone to to faith
yeah.
in every book I'm a part of.
Yeah.
And so I really believe that like this can be the new brand of book because we should all be rethinking what we think we know, right?
For
like
sure.
we should always. Be challenging our faith, not yeah. because we don't believe, but because it strengthens us even more.
Completely.
When we go look for reinforcement to what we already thought we knew. And so I just love the premise and it's going to be fun to
well, it
see
reminds
people.
Me, and for those of you who once you get your hands on it, you're going to be real surprised the way that it's done. But he, at the end, it literally turns in, when you talk about marketplace ministry, this is it right here. It's like everyone it. Wants this thing. And then at the end, they get the thing they actually need, right? Which is Jesus. They want this, but they get what they need. I was just talking about this with a friend and he literally shares the gospel at the end of this social media, get on video, you know, resource. And it's going to be the same, I'm sure, in some context to all the other ones. And I want people to know when, because they come to me often for this, how do you put your faith in your business? How do I actually share Jesus to people so candidly, right? And yeah. this is the most beautiful example I've ever seen it done with that word, with candidly done. And it excited me. I was literally geeking out on the plane because I wasn't expecting it. I mean, the whole book sure. is premised, but then I was like, oh, he's doing it. Oh my gosh, he's doing it. And we do this thing, Kyle. I learned it from another friend in the industry. Essentially, we'll do, you know, masterclass, or it'll be a 2-day workshop. And at the end, we'll set the time and it'll be 30 minutes early. We'll say, we're actually going to finish up early here. But for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to invite you into like the true unlocked secret of my success. And wow. You're going to give up the right to be offended by joining for this next 30 minutes because I'm going to tell you about my faith. And 99% of people stay. And it is unbelievable. People come to Christ in this experience simply because they had no idea what they didn't know. So they're not rethinking everything at that point. They're actually just being exposed to something they didn't think about at all.
Wow.
And that's what you're doing here.
That's so awesome.
It's so fun.
You know, do you know who Dude Perfect is?
Yeah.
So we just went to a Dude Perfect event.
So fun.
And they literally did the same thing. They ended the show and then they came back out and they said, hey, y'all don't have to stay, but we want to share with you like what fuels us
and
why we do this. And then they shared the gospel for about 15 minutes.
I did not know that.
To an arena full of people.
That's amazing.
So that's incredible. I love that.
It really is. So when people talk about marketplace ministry, like that's, it can be done in so many beautiful, eloquent ways. From the time we started this conversation, we were just talking about the natural fruit that God has given you
yeah.
that you didn't necessarily ever talk about Jesus to the room that I was in, but there was just that knowingness of like, haha,
yeah.
I see you, right? And so to run with people like you is such a pleasure, such a joy.
We
have so much fun in the process. And I think that's another element I want you to speak to momentarily before we get off, and as you share where they can get this and all of that stuff online and what maybe any offers that you have for them is it gets to be fun. That's like a saying that me and my girls always say. It's just like, if we play more often, when we play in the process of becoming, man, that's a magnetism quality in and of itself. You're really good at this. So how and why and where were you exampled, or what premise of you like bringing the play to the table, bringing the fun to the table every day?
Yeah. Gosh, I don't see, like, I don't think I'm that fun.
Ah, I think you're so fun. Maybe
you know,
it's just your humor.
Yeah. I think what does it for me is like, is just being a good question asker.
Yeah.
And just being genuinely curious.
That's
right? What Walt Whitman said, be curious, not judgmental.
Yeah.
Or now we let Ted Lasso has credit for that. I think that's what makes everything we do fun.
Mm.
And I also think I think we give a bad rap in like our lives as people who love Jesus.
Yeah.
Like we kind of really celebrate the people who are willing to always be saying his name out loud when they may not necessarily be living in such a way. And then we don't give credit to the people that may rarely say his name, but they're exemplifying everything he was.
That's good.
Because the last time I checked, the Holy Spirit doesn't need me to do anything.
Yeah, that's so good.
He gives us permission to be a part of it, but he doesn't need us.
Hmm.
And so if I can just, through asking great questions, right? That's what's so fun about a podcast, because people go, wow, your questions were so thoughtful. You genuinely care.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I do genuinely care. You know why? Because the God of the universe cares.
Yeah.
And who am I to love him but not care about you?
Yeah.
And I just believe that there's going to be, thousands upon thousands of people in heaven that are there because of me that I never said the word Jesus to, because I just put a little seed in their life that the Holy Spirit said, thank you.
Yeah, that's good.
And then over the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, it was watered and nourished. And I may never know until the other side of eternity that person is spending it with me, but I got to play a small role.
Powerful.
And so that's just why I think being mindful of the way we act. Yes, there's grace, but everybody thinks they get that.
Yeah.
And so if I can truly live set apart, now I'm giving people a reason to go, man, why are you different? We're all saying the F word in there, but you're not saying it.
Yeah.
Well, why aren't, I don't think we think about that enough, because that's what's going to win the world to Jesus, is when we start acting different, not just when we proclaim his name more.
So good. You're so on point for that, man. And this is a message that needs to be broadcasted to more of our, church people, and that's
and
it just is what it is.
That's another episode.
Episode 2, rethink everything you know about church. I'm in for
that's
it.
That's one of my books that I want to write.
Oh, I'm in.
So
I'm in.
If you want to be in, I'd love
I'm in
to
on that
you.
One. That's amazing. You guys, I want you to get in touch with Kyle Draper, whether it's jumping on to Instagram and sending him a message, snap a photo when you're on the plane next with Rethink Everything You Know About Social Media, or Rethink Everything You Know About Being a mortgage
next
officer.
Gen loan
next
officer.
Gen loan officer. Let's go. Kyle, where else can they get in touch with you?
Tamara, I'm Coach Kyle Draper everywhere on social media. And so once you've got me there, you've got me everywhere.
I love it. You're amazing, brother. I appreciate you so much for being here. And this is going to be good. I'm excited for all my shelf to be filled with some rethinking.
Come on. Thanks
be
for
blessed.
Having me.
Hey, y'all. It's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you may even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together, and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and it's going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out, and thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
And we're hosts of the Kainos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
The word kainos means new, and that's exactly what we want to do on our podcast, bring something new from what is old in our faith.
And on this show, you might hear us explore topics like what the Bible has to say about student loan forgiveness, discuss how the Satanic Temple affects our view of religious liberty in America, or even question why is it that so many people are having rapture anxiety.
To learn more about the podcast, go to lifeaudio.com.